When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. And really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, orange men and ladies. Happy Sunday. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe. At Cuse Militia on the socials. Go there. Join the militia. Live on Twitter X Spaces sometimes. Probably not today. Once again, a little pressed for time. Our apologies. We were going to do this tomorrow, and then some things came up, so we're doing it today. Which, I don't know, maybe some news would come out tomorrow. Who knows? Right, Joe? In regards to our buddy at Duke, Kyle Filipowski, pulls a blatant trip move yesterday at UNC. And, well, I guess it was at home, but playing UNC. And it was pretty obvious. So it makes you wonder a little bit about, you know, how consistent can the NCAA stay? We all remember Buddy getting kicked out of, a one-game suspension, right? And they were going to actually play Duke. And,
yeah.
You know, what ended up happening is we lost that game. And so, yeah, well, there's that, right? So, you know, there is
Grayson Allen, right?
Yeah. There's a little skirmish. They end up on the floor, and UNC players trying to get up, and Filipowski blatantly trips him. So we'll see if there's any kind of consistency here. I got that from Mike Waters on Twitter, who retweeted Jordan Dahani. So
yeah, I think that there should be, right? I mean, to just speak to it really fast, like, we saw even with the court storming, remember, he was the victim in the court storming. Well, you slow it down,
it looks a little bit more, you know,
sketch.
Yeah, a little, yeah, bit,
right?
A little bit.
And then, you know, that he comes back, and then obviously yesterday, I don't know what it looked like, you know full time, you know, or normal speed, but right. You know, the video online, it's a slow-mo, and I'm sorry, but that doesn't look to me like he's naturally trying to get up by swinging that leg up there like that. So it's not how you get up. So, yeah, I don't know. Hopefully the World Wide Web and the Twitters and the Facebooks and, you know, everyone, especially after that, the end of the game with the Duke fans, you know, I think that, you know, there's a lot of teams, a lot of fan bases that aren't really a big fan of Duke and the crazies, and they think that they're, you know, they have a little bit of privilege and stuff like that. And, you know, the only thing I worry about is Grayson Allen. He did it multiple times, I feel like, before he got, like, you know, he was just a dirty player that got caught multiple times, sometimes got away with it. But considering, you know, how close this was between the court storming and now that, you know, I think it's valid to say that, I mean, it should be looked at. And, you know, if Kyle Tripikowski, if he ends up getting suspended for a game, it could possibly be the game that, you know, we play them.
Yeah, so if Syracuse wins, the ACC tournament schedule came out, and they're going to play the winner of NC State and Louisville. And, you know, So it works. It kind of works like this, which, you know, Joe's got a different perspective, but I always look at the odds, and the odds of, you know, between those two teams this year were 4-0, beating both teams home and away, obviously. And, you know, it's just difficult no matter which one of these you get, that it is going to be tough to beat a team three times in 1 year. So with that said, we still have to get by the 10 and 15 seed. And, you know, before we even look at Duke, I think that the like Joe and I talked earlier, but, you know, no matter where you're seated in this thing, I guess I'd still rather be in Clemson's seat, maybe, I think. But, you know, just because of the second game, not because of the first game, but because of the second game, all four, NC State, Louisville, Boston College, and in Miami, who are in the other two in the other bracket there. I mean, it's going to be tough no matter what. And that's the thing about the ACC, and it just speaks volumes, I think, to the ACC, which is, you know, there's no real easy road. I mean, if you get a two-round bye, you know, that's obviously going to be a little bit easier. But even if we get past NC State or Louisville, and then let's just say you get past Duke, well, now you're looking at playing, you know, possibly, most likely, Virginia or Clemson. And, you know, Clemson, we're 0-3 against those three teams, or those two teams, three times this year. So, right. I mean, there's no real easy road to look at. But, you know, Syracuse has got to do what Syracuse has got to do. And it comes down to how they perform in this tournament. And, you know, like I said, I think they got to go to the championship game even to be talked about as a serious NCAA tournament team. And that's just... You think if they just beat Duke, now we're talking about getting in the NCAA tournament? You beat Duke beat UNC, you think that gets you in?
I mean, I think that shoots you way up there in the talk.
I think so, too. And, I mean, they did gain five spots in the net yesterday from doing nothing. So,
you mean doing nothing?
They did better, nothing.
It's better than going on the road and beating... A conference opponent, a
terrible Louisville team. Yes, sitting home watching basketball could possibly be better for you than to actually go on the road and beat another ACC conference team. Interesting, isn't it?
Riddle me that.
Well, here's the other thing, and this is your point. This is the point you brought up earlier, and that is that we went up six spots when we beat UNC at home, and we go up five spots yesterday. We didn't dribble a ball. So it's wacky, man. It's wacky. Yeah. And we're done. Dude, I think we're done with the net stuff, but still.
Bro, the problem is this. The problem is that the net just keeps sucking you back in because, you know, we talk about it and then we're like, all right, you know, we're not going to talk about it anymore. Okay, yeah, we get it. Like, I'm not going to go down the road of, you know, talking about a bad non-conference schedule and all that other stuff. But we've already hit that up. But it just seems like the days in between every podcast that we do, it just seems like there's something wild, there's something wacky that happens that doesn't make sense. You feel like you got to bring it up because we're still looking at it, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, obviously, yeah. So
so it's like when you look at that and you start seeing
just look teams at it. That are, just look at it.
Yeah, if you look, yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but people listening. Go to the net ranking, NCAA net rankings, and just you find Syracuse and find Xavier, and just compare those two, and tell me why it is the way that it is, right?
Well, Syracuse goes from 84 to 79, and help me find Xavier on here real quick, if you would. Geez, are they that far up there?
I think 65.
Oh yeah, 65. Okay, hold on. You told me that earlier. Yeah. So, right. Right here. So, yeah. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason. I think we've kind of cleared that whole thing up, but there's better examples than Xavier, by the way, I believe. But you would assume looking at this that Xavier's on the bubble, if not a probable in on the tournament, right?
I mean,
No. I'm saying when you look at this, that should be a better gauge. And what I'm saying is it's not.
Right. Well, I mean, they don't even it out enough. Obviously, you don't go back. I mean, a lot of people look at this as like the rankings, right? Like, oh, you know,
yeah, if you're can't 65th, do that.
No, they can't. They're 15-16. They have a losing record. They're not going to make the tournament. They're not going to make the NIT unless they win the Big East tournament. And the only thing that I could, the only real reason that I could tell that they're still in the 60s is because of where they started, which means that they're, that they're underachievers. Now, I mean, to me, if you're that high and you're losing those games, you should be falling a lot faster than that. But hey, I don't make this crap. So,
well, what do you think about, so look, we got the Kyle Tripikowski thing going, right? And first time I saw that too was Newton's, which was brilliant. Wish I'd have got on that a whole lot quicker, but I didn't. So credit to them, because that's spreading like wildfire right now.
So, oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, golly. You know, when you look at this, I just feel like, and then we kind of had a feeling that no matter what, where we ended up or what we did, even if you do get a 2-round bye, there's no easy way for Syracuse. And you know, we're gonna have Syracuse will play Tuesday. This says 6:30, but the thing that I got, but I think they're gonna play at what, 7, Joe?
Yeah, it's 7 o'clock.
So the winner on Tuesday, and you brought up a good point too earlier, and the fact that, you know, it's the resting time, which we kind of brought up before, but we didn't know exactly, you know, how it was gonna look. So both these teams played yesterday, right?
Yeah,
and you know, they're gonna have a day of rest before a day of travel, and they're gonna be back at it in a neutral gym on Tuesday afternoon. And they're going to have to duke it out. And then the very following day, they're going to have to play a very rested Syracuse team. And that is obviously advantage Orange. And that's the one thing I think that Syracuse has going for them coming into the second round. So, you know, it's still Duke without Filipowski. First of all, I wouldn't bet a dime that's even going to happen.
Suspended.
Yeah, but we're going to test this whole thing is going to test the integrity and you know, the integrity and fairness of the NCAA or consistency, I should say, probably of the NCAA.
Yeah,
that's how I look at that. So
it'll 100%.
It'll be interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, because I feel like if that's a Syracuse player, he's suspended. Right.
Oh, I believe so. Yeah.
I feel like if there was more national news that was talking about, oh wait, when they stormed the court, look what he did. Right. Like, I mean, we talked about it and there was some stuff, but I mean, the national media didn't talk about that stuff. All the national media was talking about was, you know, just like you said, trying to arrest, storm court or court stormers. Right.
Yeah.
So, like, you heard more about that than anything else. You heard more about the NCAA having to change the rules than you heard, well, hey, he stuck his damn foot out and tried to push this kid, and that student just slid across the court 10 freaking feet,
it's
right?
At least 10 feet. The dude slid.
So it's like there was no talk about that. And like I said, and yesterday you could tell it was pretty damn blatant. So, you know, hopefully – you know, we push this narrative, and hopefully, you know, anybody that's listening to this throughout the whole week, just push it, and then hopefully they talk about it today, and, you know, hopefully something does happen, because I think that that's really going to give us the best chance to beat Duke, for sure. But
how do you feel about Duke? I mean, how do you feel about Duke in general? I'm just saying they're 100%. I mean, on a neutral court, you know, I mean, I just, that one, I mean, 9 times in a row. So you look at it, you know, we'd have to beat a team 3 times in a row. Well, yeah, technically, we'd have to beat a team 3 times in 1 year. And then we'd have to break a 9-game win streak in what Duke has done to Syracuse the past 9 games. And then you'd have to beat someone for the first time this year after playing them at least once.
Yeah,
that's a stacked deck, I feel like. I mean, I know it's where we ended up and it is what it is, but it's just it's stacked. Statistically, well, I mean, on paper, I think it's terrible. Saying,
but, you know, I look at it like, you know, the matchup ahead of us. Again, we had from last Tuesday through pretty much today right, or yesterday, of, you know, rest, but also practice, implement different things, you know, try to put it in some nuances that nobody's seen yet, you know, so that you can have some tricks up your sleeve come the ACC tournament in D.C. But now that we have, we know who we're going to be playing, obviously, you know, that we still got a little bit of time, and then we're going to travel, obviously. And they got to play, not only did they play yesterday, but now they're going to have to play the day before, right? So, you know, obviously you hope that it's a close game, it's a good game. Maybe, hey, an overtime or two, right? That might help. You know, you never know. Sometimes people get injured. Yeah. So having that day, or having that game the day of, you know, and on top of that, Syracuse is going to be in attendance watching. Right. So they're going to be able to scout, figure everything out, and then they'll be able to scout, obviously put a game plan together. The coaches are going to be putting a game plan together regardless, probably for both teams up to that point. But then you get to watch, then you get to see who wins, and you go from there. And, you know, I know you say that, you know, we beat both these teams twice and it's hard to beat a team three times in a season. But, you know, in this scenario, I think that we have all of the advantages in the world, as far as being able to get the leg up with that first game. And then obviously, as far as Duke's concerned, I think that, you know, Filipowski is really the problem with us. He's not a great matchup for us whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And Mark Mitchell killed us.
Well, so again, so did McCain. Destroyed
us. Well, yeah, McCain, he can hit shots.
He's probably, those two that were just, you know, Filipowski's a problem. The outside shooters are the problem. That's how I see it. That's why I don't know. I don't know if what's worse, Joe, having a Filipowski on the inside or having, you know, a McCain that can, you know, can hit shots just like. I mean, honestly, for a freshman, I don't know, man. I've not seen a freshman that deadly with their shot in quite some time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, and he's hitting at what? He's hitting, 40.6%, but that's his game though, too. You know, he's taking a lot, 71 for 175 for the year. So,
yeah. Yeah. And again, too, you have to understand, I mean, we haven't played this. I think they have somebody's – one of their guards has been injured, not doing so great. I don't know if it's Foster or if it's Proctor, one of those two. But, you know, they kind of just go with the same lineup. And, again, like I said, Mitchell had 21 points the first time that we played him. But also we have to understand that, you know, when we played Duke, I mean, you're talking – it was all the way back into January. You know, we've talked since then – about how we're a better team, you know, in that game, you know, McLeod started that game and played 7 minutes. Malik Brown was still coming off the bench at that point. Benny came off the bench for 18 minutes. Right. So, that was before I think JJ Starling really, you know, started to come into his own. So, and Chris Bell only had 11 minutes. He was played 11 minutes that game. It was at Duke, and we lost by 20, you know, and we went on the road to North Carolina and got killed by almost 40 and then turned around and beat them. So, again, you know, Duke, you know, they're scary. They're Duke. But I feel like North Carolina's kind of handled them a couple times this year. And I don't know if they're as scary as the Duke team is they've been in the past. But obviously, you know, if Filipowski was suspended, that would change the game for sure.
And Duke only took 17 3-point. I say only 17, but you know we didn't shoot well at all from behind the arc, 25%, and they shot 47%. So, and again, that's really what killed us in that game was McCain coming out in the second half and just lighting it up. I mean,
well that's the problem too. The problem is when you got the Mitchells and the Filipowskis that you need to kind of start, you know, kind of double teaming and kind of. That's basically what happened. They beat us down low early, especially with Mitchell in the first half like that. And then the second half when we tried to, you know, squeeze down and double team and help down low, they kicked out. They kicked out for threes, and Jeremy Roach and McCain hit some. Proctor hit two. So that was pretty much the game. But like I said, I mean, you know, it's March 10th. and we played January 2nd. So, I mean, that was over 2 months ago. We're a completely different team. And, you know, I wouldn't say that Duke is necessarily in the best spot. It seems to me like Filipowski's got some mental stuff going on as far as, you know, not to say that he's a head case, but I'm just saying that he's made some.
I don't know. He's, you know, I saw something that said the ghost.
He seems like a poor sport. Now.
He's a poor That's sport, and he's a baby. He's a whiner.
So sometimes that can get in the way of the way that you play. And then, you know, like I said, they had an injury. One of their guards didn't play yesterday against North Carolina. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, who was it? It's Foster. So Foster's one that's been hurt. So, yeah, I mean, they had four guys play over pretty much 35 minutes plus. So they're not going that deep. And so, yeah, I mean, it's I'm not as scared of them as some of the other teams. It's just, again, it's stopping Filipowski and Mitchell and then obviously the outside shooting. But again, like I said, we're a different team. So, but I'm cheering for that Filipowski suspension.
Even my brother, who's a Duke fan from Syracuse, knows Filipowski's a baby. I mean, he's a hardcore Duke fan. He's the hardest core Duke fan you'll meet. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. I mean, no one wants a baby on their team. Nobody does. No one wants a little whiner on their team. Although he did like Grayson Allen. Grayson Allen's a poor sport, too. And a tripper. Right? I mean, so I don't know what the difference is with my brother, but maybe Filipowski not as clutch as a Grayson Allen was back few years ago.
Well, there's a couple things, right? I mean, Grayson Allen, if I believe he's a four-year player, I believe that he came in as a highly recruited player as a freshman. He played really good, and I think as a freshman, he won a national championship with Duke. So I think that automatically, I think from the beginning, Grayson Allen kind of like won the hearts of Duke fans. And then as he got a little bit older and he was there for 4 years, and then all the other fan bases and teams started getting annoyed with him and stuff like that, and then certain things started to happen, and yeah. So, but I mean, he's carved out a pretty good career in the NBA right now.
I didn't say he was a bad player. I said he's a baby and he's a poor sport.
Oh yeah. Well, but you can't do that in the NBA. You get punched in the face.
That's true.
So, and I haven't heard anything in the NBA about him doing that.
There was something. It was a couple years ago, but you know, that like you said. That stuff gets cleaned up quick. But anyway, if I didn't hear his name ever again, it'd be too soon. So anyway, let's let that one go. It's just a quick comparison because I saw it on Twitter this morning. So anyways, I mean, that's pretty much it. I will be honest, though, and I'll say that the conversation that Joe and I had earlier was way better than this one. But this is the gist of it.
I don't think so.
We just relived it. Kinda, it was good. We talked about cheerleaders kicking dudes in the faces and whatnot.
Yeah, that's the greatest thing about when you know college sports. You know when the college sports
was it a college game?
I don't know.
If it was.
You know, you get around this time and there's the weekend games and everything. And Sunday morning, you're sitting down and drinking your coffee and you start looking at all the trending videos and all the things that happen. It's pretty entertaining. There's usually a lot of real good ones. A lot of stuff that you miss. But yeah, you know, girls getting kicked in the face, you know.
Well, a girl kicked a player in the face.
Yeah. It looked like a Mortal Kombat, like finish him move. You know what I mean? It backflip really as did. The legs came down and that dude was hurt.
It's from, by the way, that was from Barstool Sports. So, here it is. I'm showing it on YouTube if we can. Oh, can I not do that? Anyways, he was hurt. He was not good after that, actually. Never saw it coming. And she gets up and looks back. She knows she did something. She looks back and she says, well, da-da-da-da-da. She went on with her day. He's writhing in pain on the ground. Anyway, we'll try to get back here. On Thursday. We do.
Yeah, we play Wednesday.
Well, that's right. We play Wednesday, and if we won, we play Thursday. So it's one of those things where, you know, we will do what we can when we can, and nothing's out of the realm of possibilities. But that's tough. But we'll see. You know, because by the time the thing if you don't do live stuff, if you're not doing live radio and people are listening to podcasts and you're doing a tournament, it's just. By the time most people get to it, it's stale. It's so stale. Everything goes so stale so quickly when it comes to basketball in general, let alone the tournaments, that, you know, it's just one of those things. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say this, you know, an article about this come out on ESPN. Duke's Kyle Filipowski denies tripping Harrison Ingram on purpose. Let's see. His response
Wouldn't you deny it, too?
Yeah, you kind of got to, right?
You kind of got to, yeah. But Buddy denied it too, didn't he?
Actually, his response was, huh?
I think Buddy actually owned his mistake, just for the record.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. Yeah. He said he made a mistake.
Yep.
You know, I'm not really, yeah, because he knows, he's not an idiot. He knows that as soon as they slow it down and they show it, right? Yeah,
right.
But that was the thing, right? He's like, in game, didn't they do that?
I was watching that game. I didn't see that until this morning.
No. I'm talking about when
Buddy in game with Buddy. Yeah, they did.
Like, they stopped the game. They went to the scoreboard. They reviewed it.
Yeah.
So anyway.
But the punishment didn't come down until after.
Right. Kyle Tripowski. Yeah, but he got called. He got called a foul. You know what I mean? It was like a flagrant or this or that. Right. So, and then they went back and they looked at it. Now, that's reason that I don't know if this is even going to come back, because they didn't call anything. And so Kyle Tripowski, he said, I'm not really too sure how the whole situation happened, to be honest. I was really just getting up. My foot slipped. I don't know how I caught him. Really all I've got.
How does your foot slip up in the air while you're on your side? Like, his foot wasn't on anything to slip.
Yeah.
I mean, this is Mike Waters. This is Mike Waters, okay? And you know, good on Mike Waters for, you know, bringing this up. Hold on. Let me try to get this into view here. Based on precedent that was established at the 2022 ACC tournament, a flagrant act that wasn't called during the game, Kyle Filipowski should be suspended for Duke's next game. By the way, he doesn't just go up in the air. He brings his leg back. It is so undeniably clear that he tripped Ingram. That it's just, there's no contest there. Like, you know, if you there's no foot slip. Now you know he's lying, because his foot wasn't on anything to slip.
Oh yeah, he was just
He had a better shot saying that he had a muscle spasm than his foot slipped.
Tried to get up and my leg cramped and I had to, yeah. Something.
So anything other than that.
North Carolina coach Hubert Davis immediately started frantically motioning for officials to look at the replay, but there was no whistle, stoppage, or review as the rivalry battle continued. When Ingram told reporters that he felt Filipowski had tripped him, but was not really sure if it was if it was on purpose, that he hadn't seen the replay yet, he said that he thought that he did and that he's not sure if it was a basketball play or not.
Okay, well, here, let me help Ingram out. It was not a basketball play because the ball was up court. And he tried to jump over the legs of Filipowski, and that's when the leg came up and back. So, look, if you want to be consistent, NCAA, that's a flagrant foul. And it wasn't called during the game, and he should be suspended for one game. And you know what? Maybe he'll get suspended for one game. Syracuse will go to play Duke, and maybe we still lose, and we can all move on, right? But you gotta call, you know, you gotta have some kind of consistency to this if that's where we're gonna be. Because I know we are all, I mean, I know I can speak for myself. Like, that being Buddy's last game, and that's how that ended. Was a terrible thing for him, but fans too. That sucked. We didn't want to see Buddy go out like that. That sucks. You know what I'm saying? And so there was a lot more to it than that. And by the way, tripping is extremely dangerous. By the way, it's way more dangerous than an elbow to the gut or whatever the hell.
Especially when you're not expecting it. right?
Yeah, he ended up and falling. He couldn't gather his feet, and he ended up hitting the wood. So,
well, so yeah, and then Filipowski goes on. He said he didn't see Ingram behind him as he got up. The replay showed Ingram putting his hands on Filipowski's back as he got to his feet and trying to jump over Filipowski's legs. Filipowski said, "I didn't even know he was back with me. I thought I was the only one left, but that's pretty much all I can remember."
Yeah, and there's a Duke. There's Duke fans saying, "Well, he pushed him down." No, he was not pushing him down. He was trying to get around him, and that's the end of that. I mean, he really was. He was just trying to get around him. I'm not a special apologist for UNC.
No,
you know what I'm saying? Like, please. No. I mean, just you have to have a sense of honesty when you see stuff like this. By the way, that game was not officiated very tightly either. There was fouls all over the place. It was getting very aggressive, and that's on the refs for letting things escalate too at points in this game, and people getting away with a lot. So maybe that's why Filipowski thinks that Tripopowski thinks he can go ahead and pull this move here. You know, he's still wearing the thing on the leg and everything from, I mean, oh, come on. Come on. What the hell are we doing here? By the way, they're fans too after the game, Joe. And we looked at the, well, you did. You looked at the what led up to the behavior of the fans that were throwing water and whatnot. Not just on UNC players are trying to reach UNC players, but all over broadcasts, people's equipment and everything. I mean, look, this is a classless group right here. You know, people's computers are getting wet. There was a Duke, must be someone that works for Duke or something like that on the floor, threw something back in the stands. I mean, look, it got ugly, and rivalries are rivalries, and I understand it gets heated, but you got other innocent people in the crossfire. You're soaking the computers with water. I'd be so pissed. It's so bad. It's a terrible moment. And if it was Syracuse, I'd feel so embarrassed for my fans, my fellow fans. I'd feel embarrassed. So, look, they were egged on, right? UNC was walking by waving. But, look, this is a product. Some of that's a product of the game. So flip them off. I mean, you know, like for like, right? Whatever. But now we're throwing waters and stuff, and people are in the crossfire. It's just a bad look. Let's just put it that way. It was a bad look. So, anyway. Enough of that.
Some of these things, right? If you tweet Filipowski, there's just so many things. It's just, it's great.
Well, if you search it?
If you search it on and all the different people that have this, like this one guy, he put up, the video of it and basically said, "Everyone relax and please remember that one of the side effects of a horrific knee ankle sore injury that almost paralyzed Kyle Filipowski is that now he randomly will trip people. It's medical science."
I wish I had the time to just sit on Twitter and just rip this all day because it's so fun. It's so fun.
Barstool
Joe's,
Sports.
Joe, hold on. Oh. Joe has spent 3 hours searching Filipowski or Tripopowski and reading all the comments. It's endless fun, right? I mean, it's hilarious.
Yes. It is really. And then Barstool Sports. Kyle Filipowski appears to have changed his stance on making contact with players on the court. this one dude said, PFT commenter, "There's no place for this in college basketball. Filipowski could have been hurt again." Yeah,
it's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty good.
All right. Well, look.
Somebody has changed.
Go check it out. I'm kind of glad we did this today, but I am curious about what news may come out about this. And, I don't think we'll be back to keep you posted, but we're going to give you a heads up on what to look for coming to the end of today, Sunday, or maybe a short, but we'll see what happens. Or look for it Monday, tomorrow. So, all right, that's all we got for Joe. Sean, we're out.
Peace.